Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show. Pat Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, all new pre-owned inventory, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Excellent service department and sales staff as well. And a couple of guests coming up today. We got Ryan Snyder from on3sports.com/BlueWhiteIllustrated. The latest on Penn State and Ohio State from last week and recruiting. And then we got Neil Coulong today from USA Today coming up as well. And a lot to get into with him. Of course, the Steelers were active today, and as today is the NFL trade deadline, comes down in a little under an hour from now, as they ended up trading Melvin Ingram to the Chiefs for a sixth-round pick. And that's definitely an unfortunate ending for the Steelers, because when they first made that signing, that was a good depth move for them on the defensive line. And now, because of injuries and now with this trade, the Steelers really do not have a whole lot of depth now on the defensive line, which is not good, because you have a guy in T.J. Watt, of course, who's been kind of up and down with the groin injuries this year. And of course, Devin Bush, the linebacker, has been in and out of the lineup too. So not a great ending for the Steelers, but if he was going to be a problem in the locker room because he was upset about his playing time, etc., I guess they had to make the move. The Chiefs were a team that were lingering with interest, so they can use the depth on their defensive line. So I guess that was the value that the Steelers were going to get. But I think they definitely would have benefited more in just keeping him than trading him. But if guy's not going to be happy staying in that spot, then you got a chance to make a move, then you got to do it. But that's unfortunate, though, for the Steelers. And now, this just in as well, the Dolphins are now likely not going to trade for Deshaun Watson. Of course, they seem to be the front runner this whole time for Deshaun Watson. Apparently, they did make their due diligence, had some conversations with the Texans, but it seems like a move is not going to be made before the deadline, and Dolphins owner Stephen Ross said other contingencies had to be met for any deal to be made, and they've now decided not to move forward with that deal. So as of now, Deshaun Watson still kind of MIA and still remaining with the Texans. And then, of course, non-trade deadline news. You've got Henry Ruggs from the Raiders facing a charge of DUI resulting in death, as more off-the-field issues continue to plague and surround the Raiders right now. I shouldn't say play, because they've actually done fairly well since John Gruden resigned. But now you got this, too, to one of your star rookie receivers, and that's just not ideal for the Raiders right now. So an active day in the NFL, none the least. Of course, late yesterday you had Von Miller going to the Rams as well for a couple of day two picks for next year's draft. And it is definitely clear the Rams are all in once again for a Super Bowl run as they add to their defensive line, and that is now even scarier than what it was originally. I mean, you're already trying to double and triple team Aaron Donald and the like, and now you add Von Miller to the mix, plus it's been a pretty good secondary with Jalen Ramsey and company back there. That's a big trade for the Rams, too. Yeah. So it's been an active 24 hours for the NFL, Steve.
Absolutely. Notice how active the Eagles have been. It's been great.
Well, that's not surprising.
Well, they have nobody to trade, is it? They don't have anybody wants.
Well, in that retrospect, yes, but I guess maybe some people thought they'd still be sellers, but I'm going to say that's probably... I didn't think that would happen either.
Source, Deshaun Watson won't be traded.
Yes.
No kidding, really? Really?
Yeah, just went through that. The Dolphins are pulling out now.
Of course they are.
Yes.
Somebody said, well, we did our due diligence. What due diligence? Just read the paper. It's not good. Due diligence? Are you kidding me? Come on.
Yeah, that is a definition of mumbo jumbo right there about this whole thing. I mean, really, it's dumb for any NFL team to make a move right now until you know if he's legally cleared or not. And it's going to take a while because you got 22 charges. This is not going to be ending anytime soon.
If it had been just 20, the Eagles would have gone after him. Kidding.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Oh, man. So, I don't know. Ingram goes to the Chiefs. We'll get to that a little bit later. The Henry Ruggs situation is bad. I mean, that's bad.
Yeah, I just said right before you came on, more smoke, more cloudiness around the Raiders right now, as if they needed any more after the John Gruden thing.
I mean, it's just bad. Somebody died. He's been charged with DUI. I mean, it's just bad. Believe it or not, do you realize that he could face anywhere from 2 to 20 years if convicted? I mean, not small. Not small at all. Oh, man. If you're talking about a tragedy there. I mean, the tragedy in that somebody died. My goodness. Awful. Absolutely awful. Okay. Ryan Snyder and Neil Coulong today. So we've got a lot going on. And we got a lot going on with high school football. So let's run down what's happening in high school football. Coming up is quarterfinal action on Friday night, Quad A. And it'll be the number 2 seed Selinge Grove hosting number 3 seed Shamokin. That's at 7 o'clock on Eagle 107. And then at 7 o'clock on Friday night, the number 1 seed Jersey Shore, bashed by the suit repeatedly over the years, yet seems to keep showing up in the wearing home uniforms. What's the deal with that?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Unfortunately for Jersey Shore, it's sí, senor. Okay, they're hosting Lewisburg, which got in, and it's on 100.9 The Valley on Friday. So we will have a roundtable on Thursday to discuss these games. Now, here are the other games. Single-A semifinal, Saturday, I think it's at 1 o'clock. Montgomery will play at Muncie. Then you've got the double-A quarterfinals that are all on Saturday. Lime Mountain is at Southern Columbia. Shockingly, Southern Columbia is the number one seed. How they got there, I don't know. Wellsboro will be at South Williamsport. That's at 1 o'clock. Let's see. I've got Bloomsburg and Mount Carmel Saturday at 1 o'clock. And Sarah's at Troy at 7 o'clock on Saturday. So those, the double A's are all on Saturday. The AAA quarterfinals are on Friday. Athens at Montoursville at 7. North Penn is scheduled to play at Milton, but because of Milton's field situation, will be at Central Columbia. And Kamenesca Valley will be at Loyal Sock at 7. So you think I kept track of this stuff?
Oh, I know. You're on top of it.
You know, it's, you know.
I know.
Now, if you want, I can do this like a typical talk show. I can get into, like, things I hate.
No, this is good to highlight the local stuff going on.
You sure? No, I can start talking about, like, things I hate.
No, I'm fine with that.
Well, no, I'm trying to do this show the way you want me to.
Hey, I am always good with local, too.
You know me, I don't really hate anything, so it's like, I mean, certain things I may not like, but, you know, I don't hate anything. It's just not me. You know.
Except maybe the 6-day window.
Well, no, but again, I'm saying that's something I dislike. I think that's wrong.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I think it's wrong.
And rightfully
and it's
so.
I'll give you an example. I mean, let's now take it from a football point of view. Okay, here's a football point of view. You want to plan with the Michigan game of having a lot of recruits in the stadium, right?
No,
none
absolutely.
Of them know, right? They don't know when the kickoff is. Has an effect. There is this quote. Let's get to Kirby Smart was asked about recruiting. And it dovetailed off of something that Dan Mullen said. Of course, this is following the cocktail party game. Oh, we're not supposed to call it a cocktail party. Okay, great. And this is what it comes down to. Mullen was asked about recruiting at his press conference. And for the most part, they've done well in recruiting, obviously. But when it came time to discuss recruiting, he didn't want to talk about it. Did not want to talk about it. Mullen's quote, when it came to recruiting, when he was asked about it at his press conference, was, let's see, I'm trying to just make sure I've got the exact quote here. Because I don't want to do it in general. We're in the season right now, Mullen said. We'll do recruiting after the season, and when it gets to recruiting time, we can talk about recruiting. Well, it didn't take long for Kirby Smart to pounce on that. Smart was talking about how recruiting has become an all-encompassing 24/7, 365. And he talked about the sacrifices that coaches make with their families and the sacrifices families make with coaches because of the 24/7, 365. And Smart then said, there's no coach out there that can out-coach recruiting. I don't care who you are. The best coach to ever play the game better be a good recruiter. The article went on to say the two comments highlighted the difference between warring philosophies in the rival coaching rooms and offered a culprit for the wide berth Saturday's game exposed between Mullen and Smart's programs. Since Mullen took over in 2017, Florida's finished 14th, 9th, 9th, and 12th in the country in the past four recruiting cycles. The Gators currently sit 22nd in the country in the upcoming 2022 recruiting class. Okay? Georgia currently sits atop the 22 rankings. The spot is occupied two other times since 18. The Bulldogs have not been ranked lower than fourth by 24/7 Sports composite recruiting rankings since 2016, when they finished sixth. If you're wondering right now, I believe Penn State sits sixth in recruiting the rankings. And they're solidly entrenched in that spot. All right. We'll take a break, because we're going to talk to Ryan Snyder about this. And also coming up, Neil Kulong today. A lot going on. Thanks for joining us today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
I want to ask you about Mike Yurcich. He came in with a tremendous resume, obviously. You moved on from Kirk to him. I know you're big in the stats and everything. The NCAA stats show you're down in most key offensive numbers this year compared to last year. So I'm just curious what some of the challenges have been like for Mike, and how would you analyze what he's done so far?
Yeah, I think you got to look at all of it, right? I think you got to look at it as, I think those points are very fair. I think you also got to look at it in, the types of opponents that you've played, the type of defenses that you've played. I think all those things factor into it. For me, it's also how many guys are we getting involved in terms of touches and spreading the field. I also would say, when you look at, your higher end opponents, what are we doing against those type of opponents as well?
Well, this is the part that has to come into play here when you talk about that. Who have you played? I mean, seriously, who have you played? In other words, you played against Wisconsin's defense, Auburn's defense, Iowa's defense, Ohio State's defense, right? For example, Georgia. Now, Georgia, by the way, I'm not in any way, shape, or form disparaging Georgia's schedule. Not in the least. But I'm going to point out, for example, Georgia's offensive numbers are going to look a little bit different after they play Charleston Southern coming up in 2 weeks, because they've got that game in the schedule. When you've got some gimme games in the schedule, you are going to get, especially if you got a couple of them early, they can really skew your numbers in a positive direction. Penn State hasn't had that kind of schedule, to be honest with you. And, of course, we know about, the numbers with the running game, and it goes to say that's been, that has been at times a struggle. But your schedule plays a part of it, too, as to what your number.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Best in new inventory. Great selection of pre-owned inventory. And that may fit the budget perfectly. And a sales staff that's going to work with you. They'll do a great job there. And a fabulous service department to back it all up. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. See the before we get to Neil Coulong here. Did you see the story about Odell Beckham Jr.'s father?
Yeah, this is starting to remind me of the Balls. I mean, get real.
They're either hating on Odell, they just don't want him to shine. I'll be honest with you. Exactly how has Odell Beckham Jr. shined since he made that one-handed catch against Dallas?
He hasn't been on the field.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking like, I make this comparison all the time. Because I'll be honest with you, it's fair. Okay? And it is as follows. When Antonio Brown was in his prime, Ben Roethlisberger could hit him on a cross over the middle. And he could take that cross and he could turn it into 40, 50 yards. I have never seen Odell Beckham Jr. do that. He usually goes down on first contact or he's not running away from anybody. I'm not saying he doesn't have great hands. He does have great hands. I'm not saying he doesn't make spectacular catches. He can make spectacular catches. But he can't take something and he can't take something small and turn it into something big. And that's just the body of work in his career. For the most part, where he catches it is where he ends up. He's not a big yard after the catch guy. And you're like, well, okay. You know, they're not going to trade him. Okay, that's fine. Don't trade him. But I mean, what's next? A tweet, something on Twitter about no wire hangers? I have no idea. It must be wooden hangers. So, Faye Dunaway joke from a movie about Joan Crawford. Mommy Dearest. Hey, Dad. The kid's got to fend for himself. All right. Let's talk more about the NFL on the trade deadline day with Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Well, it's great to be here as always. I love spending a draft Tuesday with you. I think that's a trade deadline Tuesday yeah. with you. I think that's the best part of pretty much everything on the league schedule. The deadline is 4 p.m. on Tuesday. I really enjoy being able to talk about it 90 minutes before whatever it is ends. And the trade deadline is one of the best of all for sure. So it's great to be here.
It's interesting because I was telling a story yesterday about when Eric Dickerson was dealt from the Rams to the Colts. And it was shockwaves because the NFL never made it. And nobody in the NFL ever made in-season trades. Now, it feels like the baseball and NBA deadlines.
Yeah, it really has become more and more of an event. And I think a good part of that is because, in part, a couple of years ago, you might recall, they opened up the trade of compensatory picks.
Yes.
And what that means is essentially because they don't know the compensatory picks are there until April or whenever it is they announce that, they're trading speculative picks. You don't know exactly what they're going to get, but you kind of know exactly what they're going to get. And they're free to trade those future commodities for current assets. And that opens up the market a bit. Certainly makes it more interesting. There are more moves that can be made. And there are situations in which you can kind of look back and see the team might have set up that kind of a situation by signing this player, which, you know, took them out of the running for this pick, but they'll know that they'll get this one back, which is what I think perhaps the Steelers did with their decision with Melvin Ingram, at least to some degree. There's some insurance there backed up with draft capital, that if it doesn't work out with Ingram, they have the ability to, trade a decent asset that really – Ingram signed a one-year contract to show people he was healthy. And on top of that, I'd imagine his market is going to be worth – I don't think it's unreasonable to say twice as much as the Steelers are paying him if he's healthy and they're in a normal cap year, which they will be. So if anything, I think it was a business decision on Ingram's part to say, you guys aren't going to sign me long-term. You got the $4 million valuation out of me through six games. The trade deadline is now. Sorry, this doesn't look very good, but trade me somewhere that I can, get some more film here, try to maximize my value. If this is the direction you're going to go, Alex Highsmith, in my opinion anyway, has played very well the last couple of weeks. He's going to take the yeoman's share of the snaps from here on out. And I think the Steelers know that, which is why they kind of did Ingram a solid and dealt him for something. It doesn't seem like it's much, but you're not going to see a whole lot of players. They have to be Von Miller to acquire more than like maybe a fifth or a sixth. And six is probably the typical compensation for a trade for a player at the deadline. You don't see big deals at the deadline like that. That's just not the way the NFL works. But overall, I think I think Ingram is definitely more motivated to want to make a deal as opposed to the Steelers.
Right.
But Ingram, looking out for his future, looking long-term, he wants to be in a position to get more film to drive up his value. And this is the part where I think is really interesting with all of it. What Mike Tomlin said at his press conference today, essentially that the cloud over what are you saying is one-year deals in the NFL are really hard because – In Tomlin's situation, he wants volunteers, not hostages. If Melvin Ingram doesn't want to be there, he doesn't want Melvin Ingram there. That's really just the bottom line. And because the trade deadline comes at or around the middle of the season, that's the only time players have to try to make some type of in-season move for themselves, to set himself up for later negotiations. And I think that's really what it was about with Melvin Ingram. I think his situation was very similar to DeSean Jackson in Los Angeles. All of these things kind of lead me to believe that fewer and fewer general managers are going to want to give out one-year contracts, because really this is going to continue to happen.
Right.
On the player that you would want, the player that has value, they're going to try to set themselves up. And as we've seen, it's getting easier and easier for a player to kind of negotiate his way out of town. And it really kind of the point where a one-year contract means nothing. I mean, it used to be that coaches were in lame duck status if they had 1 year left in their contract. Now it's quarterbacks and coaches. It might just be everybody now.
Yeah. All right, so Boswell, that was a great play. Boswell with the concussion. So they did sign another kicker today of the practice squad, right?
Yes. Josh Lambeau, the former Chargers and Jaguars kicker.
Yeah.
Interesting. The Steelers would want another Jaguars cast off kicker. That didn't work out so well the last time.
Yeah.
Unless you want to concede that doing that and then having to release him because he just flat out couldn't kick anymore for some reason is what brought on Chris Boswell to begin with. Now, their motivation behind putting Boswell out on the edge and asking him to make an athletic move in order to score points in the NFL, that's a different story.
Right.
But for the most part, it's precautionary right now. Mike mentioned that as well. He's on their practice squad, which is kind of the typical thing to do nowadays, make sure that they can clear COVID protocols and get on with practice to see what they'll need to do that week. But if Boswell, who is in concussion protocol right now, if he is not able to go, and then it seems Josh Lambeau, the talented veteran, he's been around for a little while. He's a solid kicker. I'm not exactly sure why he got released. You never quite know with kickers unless it's, Josh Scobie. But by and large, kickers have a reason for not having a contract, but there are a good amount of kickers, and there are only 32 jobs. So many times you can get a quality kicker who adjusts well to what you guys do in terms of your special teams and can kick in the stadium in which you're playing most of the time. You put that together like they did with Boswell, you got yourself a nice investment. A guy like Lambeau, maybe that just didn't work out for him, but clearly they were right on that move. They made it about the time you think that they would, and while it doesn't rule Boswell out exactly, it's good to know that they are going to be prepared this week with a backup kicker at least, which is something I think they might wanted to think about perhaps the previous week a little bit more.
Right. Okay. All right. Why have some things fallen into place? Is it something strategic or is it schedule? Why has it fallen into place?
I think that's an excellent question. And to be honest with you, what I see is a team that has generally checked the boxes that I thought that it would at this point. They're just maybe doing it a little bit ahead of schedule compared to what I thought. You've heard me say this a thousand times. I expected them to be about 7-10 this year. Right. They're a couple weeks ahead of the pace that would put them on. Now, I'm not giving them, you know, a playoff spot, 9-8 record, 10-7 record. I'm not there yet. But the offensive line has gotten progressively better the last 4 weeks. There are still some problems there. Poor Dan Moore, which is what I'm calling him now. I mean, he got if he wasn't baptized by fire before, he certainly was on Sunday. And I think he's doing a great job for the situation that they're putting him in. He's not supposed to be in that situation though. I think Tomlin addressed this to some degree as well. I like how he's responding to that, and I really like what they're doing in the run game. We're starting to see them really get after their opponent. They're playing with a level of confidence that we did not see from them early on in the season. They're getting better, and it's been really fun to watch. We saw they were mangling Cleveland up front on a couple of those drives. Yeah. They did a great job. They outrushed the Browns. If you would have asked me last week who was going to have more rushing yards, I would have laughed. There's absolutely no way the Steelers are going to outrush the Browns. And they beat them pretty handily in that regard. Neither team had huge success on the ground, but Cleveland was way below average, and Pittsburgh was above their average. It's coming together. I think we're seeing better things from them overall. That was just a crazy game. I mean, I don't know how many times you put those situations together. I don't know how many times the Steelers, with what they had, pull out a win. But it was great to see the heart that they played with. You know, they didn't give up. They had every reason to give up. They didn't have a field goal kicker in the second half. They didn't have a kickoff guy. Everything bent Cleveland's way, and they should have been able to make that work, but they right. get a timely forced fumble. They make plays on, you know, critical downs. They shut them down pretty good on third down. I wouldn't have expected that out of the Cleveland team. Cleveland gained like 110 yards in their first two drives. You thought they were just kind of cruising along. They were going to do pretty well. Pittsburgh's defense really stepped up and did a great job. The offense made the plays they needed to make. Pat Freiermuth, another player that I was critical of in the offseason, he's playing above and above board more consistently now. You can expect more from him in all phases of the game. Got a great effort from Zach Gentry. I would have guaranteed you that guy wasn't going to do squat this year. I didn't even think he should have been on the roster. I didn't even think him to make the team. Right. They've done an excellent job. I would point to coaching. He's kept the team believing in themselves, and he's built up their confidence to the point we're seeing much better play out of them, I think, than what's reasonable. They're not as good as in many cases as what they're playing, but they're starting to put stretches of that together, and that's going to make them better the more they get into it. We're still going to see ups and downs. You know, it's still a very young team. Mm-hmm. This is a critical stretch. You know, Bears are not particularly good. The Lions are really not good. They need to go 2-0. This is, I think, the first time this season you could honestly say they better win both of these games. They will be pretty sizable favorites in both of these games, and they're going to need to finish, really what they've started right now. And if they do that, though, they've got a pretty good shot at things. You have to like where they're going to be.
And your thoughts on the rhythm that we're seeing now from Matt Canada as a play caller?
Yeah, I think, you know, overall, what we're seeing is more of that variation than just his script. You know, beyond the first 15 plays of the game, they're able to do more deeper into drives. They ran, the jet action, the jet sweep motion that they'll run, they ran that in the fourth quarter. I don't think they've really done that to a point this year. It kind of seems like they sort of throw that out and do the things that they typically do that they know the best, their playbook has expanded. It's been an offense that they've wanted to get more guys involved. There was a point, I think, it was funny to me because usually when you scroll through the stats during a game, you see a pretty long list of the Steelers' targeted receivers. Ben likes to spread it around. He tries to get everybody some looks early on in a game. This time there were like seven guys that had carries in the first half of the game. They're doing a lot of different things that are not necessarily foreign to them as a team anymore, but the defense hasn't quite seen a variation of it the way that they did it. That's what experience gives you, and that's what, in my opinion, the real talent of a play caller is one who's able to stack different permutations of everything later on. You have to be conscious of what you've called. You have to be conscious of what another team has seen and put in different wrinkles of it, not just during the game, but before it. You have to know that they've seen this look before, so we're going to do this time, and then come back to this later on, but do this time. I think Canada's done a great job of that up to this point, and really it's not something we've seen a whole lot of from the Steelers' offense the last couple seasons, probably. So it's been fun. He's keeping it he keeps it just with enough variety that you're not sure what to expect. And that half-second hesitation that you can cause a defense to have to take is the difference in a lot of cases, especially with, you know, when you've got, I mean, it was called back on a hold, but you've got Ray McLeod who goes around, you know, the far end, outflanks the defense and picks up 20 yards. If the pursuing linebackers are not frozen for a second on that exchange, there's no way he's getting around that corner.
Right.
That's the key thing with play calling and design that you need to do. If you can get that extra delay on the part of a defense, you're going to be able to exploit the situation. I think Canada's done a great job setting them up to do that now. And probably more than anything, he's gotten a sense of buy-in from everybody in a variety of different packages. They're not making mistakes the way that they were. They're still probably penalized more than you'd like to see. Not that the officiating was, you know, optimal Sunday, but you didn't get a whole lot of those, you know, silly preparation types of mistakes that we saw in you know, mass quantity early on in the season.
I'd ask you about the Bears, but what can you say?
Here's the thing with the Bears, and we've talked about this with the Bears. The Steelers don't beat the Bears. You know, this is no joke. The last time the Steelers beat the Bears was when Jerome Bettis trucked Brian Urlacher at the goal line.
Yep.
That's how long ago it was. They're 0-3 against the Bears since then, and they were favored in all three of those games. The last, you know, they played them a Monday night back in 2013, and they got the doors blown off. I mean, the Bears killed them. Jay Cutler went crazy that night for some reason or another. A really bad team in 2013, certainly starting off. One of the many big losses that they had early on in that season. 2017, the last time they played, it was, I don't know what that was. That was a dumb game. two holding penalties in overtime.
Yeah.
Jordan Howard scores a touchdown to win it for Chicago late. Steelers were, I think, like 9-point favorites in that game.
Right.
Back in 2009 was an upset as well. Just I recall, and maybe there's somebody out there listening that would know, but I think Santonio Holmes dropped like five passes in that game. I seem to remember that. This is, you know, way back in the day. They don't play their best against the Chicago Bears. It's that simple. It shouldn't be the case every time, but, you know, it continues to happen over and over again. This is one of the few teams. I meant to look this up. I wanted to blow you away with my stat knowing power here, but I don't know how many NFL teams Mike Tomlin has not yet beaten in his career, but I know that Chicago is one of them. There can't be many more than Chicago.
Right.
So you hope that they can bring the same type of effort that they've put out the last few weeks and you know, put together a nice little run for themselves. We'll see, though. You know, I'm not willing to just write off any opponent for this team this point of the year. Where they are, they're going to have to get better in practice and in the film room each day leading into a game. They're not good enough to write anybody off yet.
Well, we never write you off for good reason. You're brilliant. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you very much.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.
That's Neil Coulong, Ryan Snyder, next half hour. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKO.